What's happened is that we're treating all this language of theft, right, is based on a property metaphor. I mean, this term intellectual property is actually not a recent term. It's been in use for a while, but it's only gotten really current in the last few decades. But the notion that intellectual, that ideas are a property, but they're a very peculiar kind of property, is quite old. So here's what Thomas Jefferson had to say. This is an absolutely, wonderful statement about the trouble with using the property metaphor for talking about ideas. That if nature has made any one thing less susceptible than all others of exclusive property, it's the action of thinking power called an idea, which an individual may exclusively possess as long as he keeps it to himself. But the moment it's divulged, it forces itself in the possession of everyone, and the receiver cannot dispossess himself of it. It's out there, you can't take it back. And its peculiar character too is that no one possesses the less because every other possesses the whole. If I, you know, and th this is exactly these are exactly the two qualities that make digital music sharing or movie sharing or digital text sharing so problematic. The first is that once you give it away, it's very hard to get it back. Can't ever know that the bits have really been taken back and they may have been passed on to others and spread around. And when you give it away, you don't lose it. If you transfer it to somebody else, you don't lose it yourself. You still have the whole of it. And he who receives an idea from me receives instructions himself without lessening mine, as he who lights his taper at mine, a flame, a torch, receives light without darkening me. That ideas should be freely spread from one to another over the globe for the moral and mutual instruction of man and the improvement of his condition seems to have been peculiarly and benevolently designed by nature. Now, he's not here talking about copyrighted works, right? He's talking about ideas, but there's the same thing here. There's some terminology here that's worth your noting. If anybody ever says to you, these are sort of concepts from economics, if you say that everybody else can have it without anybody, that there's no mutual exclusion between multiple people having, that's called non-exclusionary. And then the other concept is, that you don't have any less just because you've given it away to somebody else, to say that these things are non-rivalrous. So there's this note called rivalrousness and, exclusionariness, I guess is the would be the verb. Okay, so when they get around to writing the Constitution, this was recognized as an issue from the very beginning. And so here's the clause of the Constitution that sets up the, provides the background for setting up the copyright system. Congress shall have the power to promote the progress of science and useful arts. Okay, so this is one of these pieces of the Constitution which explains what the rationale is for this. Promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors, and these two parts correspond roughly to what became copyright law and what became patent law, the exclusive right to their respective writings in the case of authors and discoveries in the case of inventors. All right, so this part here is really important to promote the progress of science in the useful arts. The reason in American copyright tradition for giving authors the exclusive right to the stuff they write, and to give inventors exclusive right to the stuff that they invent and patent, is not because they have a kind of moral right to it. It's theirs. It's because this is good for society, because it provides an incentive to authors to write and for inventors to invent. And they'll do more writing and more inventing if you give them for limited time exclusive control over what they do so they can make money off of it or whatever their intention is. Okay, this is the European tradition is actually somewhat different, right? In the tradition in Europe is much more that this is an inherent natural right of man somehow to control the stuff that you create. In the American line of reasoning, right from the beginning in the Constitution, it's there for a particular reason. It's there for a particular reason because it's better for society. Everybody's more productive, more inventive, more creative, if they're given essentially an economic incentive to write and to create. And that's the rationale behind, originally, behind American copyright law.